Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to DDP Snake Pit. And of course, we couldn't do it without a pair of Hall of Famers, including Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, how are you, man?
Couple of weeks behind, but I'm here.
Glad to have you back with us. And of course, Diamond Dallas Page. What's up, dude? How are you?
Good, man. Good to have Jake back. Kind of different when you're just by your side. It was great having Darby that one time that he coming in. But being you, we had a good time. You know,
yeah.
But it's good to have Jake back because I always like to have his perspective on, you know, on things that are happening, you know.
And that's what we're going to be talking about.
I got a couple of things I want him to bring up too, you know, just kind of getting back in the fold of stuff. And, you know, we're going to start watching a little more TV and be more current with it so we can stay with you guys and kind of walk you through what we're seeing. A couple of weeks ago, there was a big thing with WWE when Braun Strowman returned.
Yeah. Oh my God, he looked like the abominable snowman.
He did, but Braun, listen to me. Nobody wants to see a friendly monster. Quit smiling.
Mm.
You're not that guy. You know, so many guys make that mistake of when they turn babyface, they'll completely change themselves. No. The only thing that's changed is your opponents.
Mm.
You're still the beast. The beast is what they love. They just want to see it pointed in the direction of somebody they don't like.
Okay. That's happened with me with NWO. I flipped it from one day telling people that they were trash to the NWO, and it just
boom. And so many guys make that mistake. And for Braun to be such a beast, man, and to see him out there smiling and asking the crowd what they would like for him to do, oh my God, if I was big enough, I'd punch you right in your box. Because you are a beast, and my God, use what you got, son. Go with what you got. I was glad to see our buddy, the Steiner boy, Braun.
Bronson?
Yeah.
So Braun Breaker.
That's right. Yeah.
Him and his tag team partner, Tyler Bates, they did some stuff with some fellas out there, and really enjoyed seeing him because I remember him just a year or two ago being over at the house being punished by Dallas.
I'll tell you what, Braun Breaker or Bronson or Steiner, as I could call him, because he is a Steiner, was just with his dad and his uncle at a signing that we did up in Nashville. Great seeing them. But I mean, that kid's got such natural skills.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to his, you know, the WrestleMania match that they did, what they called lockdowns, right? You know, or takedown. What do they call
takeovers? Takeovers.
Takeover, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that match was phenomenal. But they've got some great talent down there at NXT, and I really believe that. You know, that's Hunter's baby. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, the show's already changed.
Yeah, what?
It's already changed.
You know? Oh yeah, 100%.
Shawn made the announcement that they were NXT.
Yeah.
So he did it in a classy way.
Well, that he was down there for, I mean, who better? Because a lot of times, a lot of these kids get trained, you know, in independent places, you know, by guys who really never made it, even got to the show, never mind were a top guy.
Right.
But when you got someone like Dustin Rhodes' school that he's got out there all the time, you just Google Dustin Rhodes or Cody Rhodes, you know, with QT, you know, they've got schools there that they really teach, the whole, Nightmare Factory thing. And that's
from
still
a
going.
To Z, Daddy. From A to Z, you know, Daddy.
But a lot of these guys get trained by guys who weren't top guys. There's no bigger top guy than Shawn Michaels. And he's been down there and he had some crazy influence on these kids over these last few years. And now he's up there, with back at the show again and giving his influence up there. And, you know, the show just played last night or two nights ago, the Raw. That was a hell of a match, man. I mean, you're starting out with Seth Rollins.
With main event.
What?
You started out with the main event.
Yeah. They started out.
And guess what? There wasn't a 10-minute opening talk show.
Right.
You know, which was always my bigger biggest thing. I just could not stand for them to open up a show and then have 8 minutes of talking.
I never really minded that, but when it got to 20, yeah, it was a little long for me.
Yeah.
But I never minded that. I kind of liked it. But
to open up with Rollins and Lash.
Yeah. They put on a barn burner. When it goes to three commercials,
yeah,
and you're still watching the show, I don't remember that ever happening on Raw.
No.
You know what I mean? No. So, again, you see the show changing, more wrestling-oriented,
yes,
storytelling in the ring. And I don't think there's a better guy out there doing it than Seth Rollins. I mean, Bobby is the beast. He did a hell of a job. I thought they were going to drop it. I didn't think Seth Rollins needs a title unless it's the world title. Or a universal title, or WWE title, I think they call it. But I thought they were going to put him over.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some great false finishes. Yeah,
great false finishes.
There was some great false finishes during that match. I mean, that was my favorite thing of all, you know, on the show. And opening it, it lets you know you're watching a different Raw.
Yeah.
You know, and
when you put two of your top guys out there and open up the show with that, and Seth did it in a good way, man. He showed how strong and powerful Lashley was.
Sure.
He actually did something to hurt him, where he hurt his wrist, his bicep. I'm sorry, his bicep. They worked it and they worked it and they worked it and they made it believable.
Right.
And that's always been my bitch. Make it where people can actually say, "Oh yeah. Oh my God, that hurt!"
Yeah, there's a couple things I can't remember. The bump where Lashley ran.
Into the post.
Oh my God, I sold that like I was 12 years old.
I did a little, my rocking chair, because you know that hurt.
You know that hurt. That's like chopping. You know that hurts. You know, but going in and taking a pole like that. And the way he hit and spun and the thud, I was like, God, you could have broke a rib on something like that.
I was like, he's going to sell that.
and that's why whenever I do any kind of speaking gig, like one of the questions I ask people, like, what do you think the most frequently asked question is of a professional wrestler? Is it real? Is it fake? In 2022. But that's the shit they're talking about. Like, I saw this guy come off the cage and hit this pole and he did a 360 turnaround like a helicopter.
And I use blade. Is that really blood?
Yeah, right. Well, that's really blood.
Really blood.
That's
really blood. Theirs.
Yeah. And friggin', most of you guys all know this, but you get a hard way.
It's a joy.
I don't know if I ever tell you this story, but I was wrestling Steiner and, right towards the end of WCW, and we were doing a last man standing match, and the belt, he's going to hit. I'm going to use the friggin' Austin Bret Hart finish. You know, he opens him up. He bleeds like a pig, I just pass out. Right. So I would always get the blade if I was going to do that, kept wrapped in my tape. And me and Scotty, we went all over that building. So part of my tape was like pulled off.
Uh-oh.
And then I realized, now we're getting ready to do it.
Whoa.
I'm on the mat I realized there's no blade.
Oh.
And I go, Scotty, I lost my blade. He goes, fuck. Fuck.
No problem. Fuck.
So I bring it. I go, you got one? He goes, no. I go, Nick, you got one?
No.
And I just said, come with it, bro. And he looked down at me, and he still was like, for a surreal moment, he looked down at me, you sure? And if you see my head, friggin' tune into, like, I dropped my head at the last second, because it looked like he must have hit me with that belt 20, 30 times. He never touched me. Yeah, well, he never touched me when he hit me with it, ever. I was always gone as he was coming through. It looks beautiful. But that day, boom. And it knocked you silly, boom.
Yeah,
didn't knock me out, but it knocked me silly. It didn't hurt like hell. And I looked up at him, I go, do we get it? And you can see it starting to come. He goes, oh, we got it. And then he stopped my forehead. And I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome. TBS pulling back the cameras.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a pay-per-view. When I saw it later, you could barely see it. I was so pissed off. But yeah, we're just bringing, is it real? Is it real blood? Yes, it's real blood.
You know, what I like about WWE stepping their game up, and they're definitely stepping it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whether it's because this guy's in here and he's not, that doesn't matter. Bottom line is they're stepping it up. And that's going to cause the other guys to step it up.
Right.
And from what I'm seeing, they're stepping up, you know, in a big way. I mean, we just watched, you and I watched those guys go forever, Moxley and
Sammy, we talked about it earlier. I want to say it again. Sammy is, I got to say, the greatest ever I've ever seen for any kind of high flyer is Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it at a high, at its highest level, which is mind-boggling for me, considering he's been doing it for 30 years.
For 40.
Yeah, well, he's only 42 or 43.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
He started when he was 12.
No, he started when he was 12, yeah. So, bottom line is Sammy did shit in that match. They did this one thing, and I had to play it back like three times because friggin' Mox is about to get him and fucking Sammy's coming in and he does this flip thing where he turns out on top of it. I could never see him working it. It looked like it was a fucking shoot move. And the biggest thing that I love about Moxley, when you're watching Moxley, that's a fucking real fight.
Oh, yeah. He reminds me of Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah.
Just a street fighting son of a bitch. And I love the way they laid this match out, too, man. They, Moxley was smart enough to play a little possum here and there, you know, on Sammy, and suckering Sammy into doing these high risk moves, which he's always trying to set him up for that one kill shot. But in doing that, that means that Moxley's going to take a lot of friggin' punishment. And one thing Moxley can do, he can take an ass whipping and give one.
Yeah, both.
You know, no doubt about it. And I'm proud to know the guy from the speech I heard him make here a while back. And we're not going to go into why that all happened because it's none of my damn business and it's not the fans' business either. You know, stupid shit happens in this world every day. And I just hate that these young guys chose a platform they did to do it. But I'm sure that they're regretting it. And I think that they've done the best thing they could do. We don't turn the belts over to a tournament.
Right.
That was wise. And go AEW, man. You know, I'm all for you guys. I love you guys to death. You know, I'm still employed there. You wouldn't know it. Look at me.
In other words, put it back on TV, Tony.
Yeah, man. We're going to do it, baby.
Come on, man. Tony, what are you thinking?
Back on the sauce.
You know, I look at, like, I think the cutter, as we'll call it, all right? But starting with getting famous with the diamond cutter. Of course, Randy Orton took it to, I think, the next level up and doing some stuff that, like, my God. But these kids today, it's got to be the most, you know, replicated move, but completely different every time.
Yeah.
And the element for disaster, like, and I'll go back to the one where Sammy hit the cutter on Cody. You know, there was so much room holding on to that ladder. It's a regular ladder that you use to go up the side of your house.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not made of foam.
And it's on cushions. There's a mat, you know, it's a wrestling mat, but it moves. The element of era, you know, that could have happened, of him springboarding from the ropes to the top of that ladder, springboarding off and catching Cody and going down. Like, that kid is he has zero fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zero fear. It reminds me of surfers that take off on those, you know, 30, 40, 50-foot waves. They have no fear. You know? What'd you think of that match, Conrad?
I think Sammy Guevara is criminally underrated. I'm glad to say he's getting some of his just due and some attention on the program here. He's had a hell of a run, several runs with the TNT title. He may have won that belt more than anybody else, but I think when AEW first started, a lot of guys like Cody Rhodes saw something in him. I think Cody and Sammy were the very first ever AEW match. And I think it won't be too long. You know, we're going to be talking about Sammy Guevara in that main event spot. He's one of those next generation stars that is going to stand out for a long time. I mean, we're talking about how great he is right now, but just for context, as a reminder, this fellow's only 29 years old. I mean, he's yet to hit 30. So his best years are still in front of him. His wrestler peak might even be 10 years away from now. So big future for Sammy.
Yeah, it's going to be a situation for him. It's impossible to hold him down.
Yeah, one of the things that
there's no way you can do it.
No, I agree totally. One of the things you're seeing on, I just feel like I'm seeing it much more recently in WWE, but you see it in AEW all the time. A lot of submissions and going from one submission into another, like in the people, because now they're educated with UFC.
They understand it.
They understand what it is. And, you know, that drama of, you know, that drama of the element of, you know, can they make it to the ropes? Are they going to tap out? Like,
is he going to be able to switch it?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's
people today are getting that smart to where they're out there calling the shot too. You know, I mean, you got guys in there that can just do so much with their hands and turning things. And of course the best has to be Danielson.
Yeah. I think he's the best in the world.
Best in the world. I believe so too. And then after I watch him and Jericho.
Wow.
I see two of the best in the world.
Jericho
picks it up and goes to another level.
Yo, he's going to be 52. In November. And if, you know, I'm just happy to have had, and everybody knows because he's been talking about my DDP yoga forever, you know, on his podcast until he got too expensive. Chris, man. What you talk about a guy who comes to the dance and delivers every time there in that match there, the going from the submission to the submission to the bump to the false finish. I mean, both of those matches told some of the. If you guys anybody's watching AEW, those are two matches you should have been watching. Yeah. You know, you've seen a lot of it lately in AEW.
Yeah.
Longer matches, storytelling, and. That's what we just talked about, you know, with WWE. That's what they open with.
When I see both those guys in the ring, I said, oh, yeah, clinic time, man. You know, because they put on a wrestling clinic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't been as big a Jericho fan as I am now until just last 6 months or so. And I watch what he does, not only in the ring, but obviously what he's doing behind the scenes in – taking care of himself, but he also recreates himself. Every time he turns around, he's got a new look. He's got that right now. He's got that young boy look that you want to slap him because he's good looking. You know, and he's 52 years old, a piece of shit. You just want to fucking mow him down. And he's taking on his heel persona again. And when he's a heel,
he's a heel.
He's an asshole heel.
He's a heel. But they'll still sing his song.
Oh, yeah.
And let him come out. Yeah. The greatest, I've said it for the last year, the greatest entrance that you, as a performer, you could ever have. Yeah. When someone are saying your catchphrases, in music, they call it face mode, where the artist doesn't have to sing because everybody else is at the top of their lungs, you know, and then you get that. With Jericho's entrance, and he plays into it, has a ball with him, and then he goes right to who he is as the character, babyface or heel. Yeah,
I see him in the ring. They got this one shot of him in the ring, and Daniel's on the floor after he hurt his ankle.
Right. Yep.
And you see him like, oh, he's really hurt. This is going to be fun. And he goes down there and gets after him, man. And he went after him, brother. And he made you hate that son of a bitch. But, you know, I am so surprised. Not surprised. Just so grateful to AEW because they gave us Moxley and Sammy, Jericho and Danielson. Then they turn right around and give us Dax and Claudio. Mm. It's like, Jesus Christ, but you know that Dax is going to put a show on.
Right.
I think that cat is one of the best ever in the tag team. They're the best tag team. I love that tag team. They wrestle their asses off. They're like the Four Horsemen 2.0 or something.
Yeah, they know. Really are, man. It's kind of a – and that's kind of like with the you felt that, you know, especially when they got there, because then they could really do that, you know?
When I started seeing them, man, all of a sudden I'm doing Comic-Cons with them and they're going to do a match somewhere and I'm driving over to see their damn match. I'm going, Jake, you really have went full circle.
You know, but those guys, they are old
back
school.
Back to being a mark. Chasing the boys.
Right. Well, again, when you have really good storytelling. And,
oh, you love it.
And that's what you really are getting better. You don't need to tell as much story verbally, you know, as you do, you know, physically.
Action, reaction.
So that's what brings the people. So you know, what did you think, Conrad?
I think it's an interesting time for both WWE and AEW, you know, with all the management changes in WWE and all the supposed behind the scenes drama in AEW. I think they've cranked out really, really good shows. We sort of buried the lead. Tonight is effectively a pay-per-view for free on TBS from Arthur Ashe Stadium. AEW is bringing out all of the big guns for Grand Slam. And this Friday, it's going to be a 2-hour episode of Rampage. This almost feels, Dallas, to me like an old school Clash of the Champions, a pay-per-view level card, but on free TV on TBS tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, guys are going to be, it's like we call it red light fever. You know, anytime you're on, you know, they're still putting on shows, really good shows for the people without any cameras there. And it's so funny, the amount of people. I have no idea that we're wrestling, you know, especially in WWE or WCW back in the day, or you're when you're doing all the different federations, all different territories. Now we're working 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny to hear my daughter Lexi talking about, oh my God, you know, because she's doing this stuff for Friday. And now that William Morrissey, I'll always be cast to me, you know, as a nickname, no matter what. Now that they're, you know, on the road together, you know, like for her, it's like, oh my God. It's nonstop. It's
like, I gotta have all my curlers. I gotta have this. What am I gonna do? We gotta get my nails done. I know one of the things that I did back in my day, of course, when Rick Rude grabbed my wife, and my wife slapped me, and we went over a little thing. And I remember one night we were in some hotel in Michigan, and it's time to go to the building. I said, come on, girl, it's time to go. She goes, Jake, my stomach is just so upset. I don't think I can do it. I'm like, get your ass out of bed. You're not taking bumps. You're not out there hitting the ropes. You're not getting the shit knocked out of you. Get your ass up and come on. And after about 5 weeks on the road with me, we were wrestling every night, traveling every day. And we also had that baby with us. It was rough. But all of a sudden she's going, you really don't have any fun out here, do you?
That is so funny you said
that.
That
was the greatest thing that could have happened to me, man.
All right. I'll tell you, Kim only did it one time. Because we only, you know, Nitro and Thunder, it was two separate days. You could fly in, fly home, fly in, fly home. She had never gone on the road for like a loop with me. And she goes, can you please fly me home? I don't know how you're doing this.
I don't
this.
Know how you do it. It's I don't crazy.
Know. I don't know. But it's so, and especially when you're young in it, you love doing it. Because, you know,
good weight.
You know, he's bringing, you know, but that wears, man, by the end of it, you know, I don't want to travel. I'm going to Alaska to go do something up for Kevin Matthews up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'm turning it into a trip. I got one in this weekend in LA. I'll be in LA at the I can't remember.
SnobbleCon.
It's the LA, LAX. LAX, is that what it's called?
LAX
Fan Fest. And I think it's at the Hilton. Is that right, G? G? Well, look it up. And let me know, I don't want to say. But I'm doing that.
It's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Right
at the LAX Fan Fest at the Los Angeles airport for the Hilton. So 5711 West Century Boulevard in L.A., the Hilton, the airport Hilton, right there at LAX.
There's my boy. Karen said what you said. Yeah, so go ahead and do that, that signing, and then I'm hopping on a plane with Paige, and we're headed to Fairbanks, Alaska. And that show's not till the following weekend. And I'll talk about this in a second, but so we're gonna go out there and just see Alaska, man. I'm excited about it. Then after the show, we're gonna stay for another week and continue, you know, because she loves the great outdoors, and she's making
you me a little the Arena Borealis and all of it, man.
Yeah, right. We got.
I've seen that before, bro.
Have you really?
Blow your mind,
dude. We are staying
in a dome, right?
In a dome. It's all open up, so you're looking. You're laying in your bed and you're looking up at the stars or the aurora borealis. The
glass dome over you.
Yeah, so it's going to be at
not real big.
No, not too big, but hey, it's got enough room for a king size bed and be able to look up at that. That's I love stars. It's one of the things I love the
blows
most.
You away, man. When I see it the first time was in Alberta. Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan.
We were driving up north up there. And I'd had about 12 beers. And,
you?
Yeah, I know. Kind of odd. And I'd smoked some weed.
Come on.
Well, it's an herbal remedy. And all of a sudden, I'm blinking my eyes, and I see this shit. And it looks like fingers coming across the sky, but they're in colors. I'm like, what in the fuck? And, man, I just hit the brakes. The guys are there in the
if
car.
You don't know. It's scary.
Slung them up. It scared the piss out of me, man. I thought they were Martians or something.
Yeah, right.
I thought the end of the world was here. And this shit, then it goes over here. I'm like, guys, goddamn, man. They're here, man. They're fucking here. Yeah. And I'm screaming, man. And they start laughing at me. And then they say, it's the Borealis. I'm like, what kind of gimmick is it? Borealis. What is that?
I think it's gas.
And
I don't know. I'm guessing.
You're tell us, Conrad.
Your Conrad will pull it up.
Well, here's what I want to talk about. I do want to talk about, you know.
Wait, before you go, before you go, let me just finish this part. In Alaska, Marcus Bagwell, you know, after we finished filming Change or Die, we kept with Marcus because Marcus like fell off, like he fucking fell off the rails, you know. And I've always said, never really knowing, the Change or Die is
it's real.
Yeah, it's real for starters, but it's not a reality show. It's a docuseries. It's like we did with Jake, but instead of a doc, just a regular movie, we made it a series because we brought people into the house. And it's a little piece of Biggest Loser. It's a little piece of Intervention. You know, it's a little piece of God, I forgot what the other part is. Either way, it's real. And one of the things with Marcus was, you know, when he went off the rails, you know, we had an intervention, and his niece was there, me, Steve, of course, Marcus, Ronnie Gossett was there, and it was like, dude. If you want us to continue to help you, you have to go to rehab. And bottom line is, he went. This was a really good place.
Surprised me, Marcus. You surprised me.
We just saw him this weekend. And so I want to let people know, you were watching this up in Alaska, that's going to be the first show he comes to. And of course, I'm going to be there. We're always going to have someone with him, kind of like we do with Jake in the beginning. Jake don't need nobody anymore. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about, Jake, about helping him.
I'm there.
Yeah, about helping him on the, like getting booked on some of the things so I know you're there on a signing, whether it's a Comic-Con or whatever.
I
know. We haven't talked about it yet, but we'll talk about it after this. But that's going to be like Marcus's coming out show. And I'll tell you, I know how hard it is to stay straight for, and Jake knows way better than I do. But it's the best I've ever seen him. And now just continue. He's learned so much. He did every class. His legs started healing.
And I was explaining the reason why your leg wasn't healing because you weren't resting it. You were taking shit and putting shit in your body. Man. You know? So I just want people to know in Alaska, he will be up there. And anything moving forward, you will see him out there doing different shows. He's, you know, he'll always be recovering. And the fans will really come out and support him. And that's really what it comes. Because for you, you never knew how much the fans loved you. That made a huge difference. Huge difference.
I looked at things a lot differently. Tell you that.
And I've used you as an example so many times. I'm like, Jake is living his best life.
I am.
At 67. He was at 64, 5, 6, 7.
I'm having the most fun. I've rebuilt some major relationships, including one with my ex-wife, who I very much love and will always love.
And we went to see Aerosmith together.
The four of us. I thought that was going to happen. I'd have bet my life on that shit.
I mean, it was a great time.
We had a wonderful time. I went all over Boston, went there looking at different things. But you get to feel things differently too, Marcus. Hear me when I say that. You get to feel things. Because for a long time, man, you were so medicated, you didn't feel shit.
Right.
And this stuff is real that you're feeling now. And some of it's going to be hard. But I'll be there for you.
So go ahead. Now, sorry to rake your eyes, Conrad, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I'll listen. All good. I'm just excited to be talking about current stuff. I love getting you guys' feedback on what you're seeing. We've seen a lot of changes happening under the Triple H regime. You know, we talked briefly off air about Logan Paul being the guy.
Yes.
He's going to get a shot, and they announced it at a big press conference. It started on Logan's podcast, Impulsive. Then there were some social media back and forth. Then they made the announcement he was going to be at SmackDown. But as we're recording this past Saturday, they held a press conference in Las Vegas just hours before Canelo Triple G3, the biggest boxing match of the year. Many think this year. And they announced that Logan Paul, the guy who made his name as a social media influencer and then took it to the ring against Floyd Mayweather and never went down. No, he didn't win the fight, but he never went down against the greatest boxer we've ever known. And now he's getting a shot at the longest reigning champion in modern history. More than 2 years, Roman Reigns has held the belt. But they're going to take that show to Saudi Arabia in November for Crown Jewel on November 5th. And man, there's been a lot of speculation, Dallas. Is this going to be a David Arquette moment? I don't necessarily agree with that. A lot of fans are negative about the idea that Logan even has the opportunity, but boy, he's going to bring a lot of eyeballs. I see this as a major net positive for the company. What's your take?
I'll tell you, I met him, and we talked about it last week. I said, he's the only guy besides Bill Kilmer, not the diamond cutter with me when I asked him. But I also said, I totally understood because it had to do with gang signs. He'd already been sued over whatever. And that went everywhere. But that was the point of that guy. And I'm not going to really clarify it because we didn't really get into it. That guy's one of the best athletes like ever to, you know, step in any ring. Look what he did already. Look at the shit that he's done, you know, in a very short time. And I know how hard it is to train somebody who doesn't really, you know, like David loved it, but, you know, he wasn't the guy to be a wrestler,
right.
But he did learn over that whole thing, that docuseries that they did, You Can't Kill David Arquette. And he did learn enough to be credible, to go out there, and he got the fans' respect big time. And they really loved him. I was there for that. But this kid, I watched the stuff that he's done. He's 6'3" or 6'4" to begin with. And that sort of took me back a little bit because when I got in the elevator with him, we're just looking eye to eye. I was like, man, you're a big son of a bitch, you know? And he's just such a natural athlete. And like so many people, like Rodman, he was a great athlete. He didn't want to really practice. I'll guarantee you that kid's practicing because he wants to go out there and freaking have a hell of a freaking show. But he also is one of those guys has natural instincts. Like Rodman had great instincts of how to be a heel. This guy knows how to be a performer. And I think
Shine.
It's a hell of a fucking spot for the WWE, you know, the titles, the man. And, you know, Roman, he will lead him to something special. And that's what I really believe. I think he's going to surprise the hell out of people because this cat is a main event performer, and it's going to sell a shitload of tickets. It's going to sell a shitload of tickets. Some people want to see him fall on his face, mm-hmm. and other people are going to say, the kid's going to freaking steal it. And I think he's going to go out there and kill it. I really do. I think he's got he's one of us without, you know, coming up the way we did. He's a guy who can answer the bell, I think. We'll see, though. What do you think, Jake?
Well, I'm kind of with Conrad, man. I mean, his kid's being fed with a silver spoon. These things are being pushed out there for him. Yeah, he's busted his ass, and he's answering the bell, and he's doing all these things because he's physical enough to do those things.
Right.
He's a performer, so that gives him another plus. But the worst thing that you can do to him right now would be to put him over.
Oh, I don't think
really?
You put him over.
No.
I don't think you put him over. That
would be the worst thing. I think if he puts up a good fight, maybe a couple steps above good, maybe a great fight, and shows perseverance, that sets the table better for him.
You don't need it.
He doesn't need it.
You don't need it.
And neither does Roman. But Roman needs to walk out there at that bell.
Yeah, I can't imagine any other finish. But then again, I thought Drew McIntyre was going over. You know? And I thought that was just a no-damn brainer. You know? You're going to put it back on him the next night. Literally. You know?
Let me ask you guys this, because it has sparked a debate. The rumor is, and again, we're not there. We're hearing things that sure. Roman has a new contract that doesn't mean he's going to work a lot of shows. So he's going to have a very limited number of dates, and they maybe perhaps want a more active champion. So there's been speculation that they want to find a way to get the belts off of Roman without actually beating him. Now, who knows what you can believe or you can't believe, but they don't want to hurt the run he's on, and they want to keep him strong for WrestleMania in the event they do or are able to put together the match with The Rock, which makes me think maybe we don't need the title for that one. But is Logan Paul the suitable replacement? We get creative. Paul Heyman gets involved somehow. Maybe he turns, costs him the title. Now he's with Logan Paul. That sets up the next thing. I don't know. Is there a way that you could creatively get there?
That's pretty good booking right there, though, if you're going to do it.
There's a way to get anywhere you want to go.
Right.
And Bill Watts said, no, good son of a bitch. Once told me, change is always good. Change is always good. So maybe it is a time for a change. You know?
I'll tell you what,
it would shock the world.
Mm.
And you know what? The great thing is, if you did put the kid over, you could turn around the next night and beat him.
Sure.
And you've got an angle right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything else. But this guy took advantage of you in this match, and he did a dirty shot and got you.
Hey, you know what? What I love is when, and this is what used to piss me off about the booking committee, when I couldn't get past that top of the middle. You know, I couldn't break that ceiling. And Jake and I talked about it so much. My goal was to always, I was never to be fucking world champion at that point in my life. It took Dusty to make me see that. But it was I wanted to Jake Rick Rude's spot. Like when Jake went out there, I don't give a fuck who he's going out with. Sometimes you knew he was going to win. But you never knew him or Rude was going to lose. You never knew. Like going out there, and that's what I want to feel. When I'm watching something, I don't want to know this guy's going over. Like last night with Bobby Lashley, two nights ago with Bobby and Seth. I'm like, Seth's got to go over here. You want to talk about one of the greatest performers, and I got to put him up in that elite, elite of elite today. He's been beat fucking way more than me and you. And we got beat a lot. Yo, Razor, Scott Hall got beat a lot. It doesn't matter if you know how to do it.
Man.
He's doing it at a level where he almost could get beat every fucking night, they're going to sing his fucking song, and they're going to fucking be right there with him because his shit is so good. And that's what I want to see. I want to see. I loved how Bobby came up on top. You knew it was his thing with Riddle. And they're really pushing that kid Riddle, man. First time I saw him down at NXT, and very few guys I walk up to after I've seen him for the first time. I walked up to him. He was outside, you know, after just, you know, cooling down. Not smoking a cigarette.
Just kidding.
That'd have been you. But I just walked away. I said, man, you got a bright future, bro. I mean, he just had that something. And he's a believable shooter, mm-hmm. you know. And the people freaking love him, man. And it's hard to get people to love you. Especially
barefoot.
I don't know how he does it and how he works some of those kicks. Those kicks have to be stiff as hell. You know, because that foot coming is
bone, man. It's bone, man.
I know. I'm like, there's only so much you can work on that shit. You know, but yeah, man, I'd love to. What will they? What, you know, like the finish you just came up with makes sense to me, because wise man, you know, and at any point in time here, you flip Roman, he'll stay the same, but you'll never hear any of the negativity for Roman again.
Correct. Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore. He flipped. If Cena would have done it, same shit would have happened to him. You know, but he wanted to be true to himself. And he's the number one, I don't know, people out there know this, especially Cena haters, but Cena is the number one requested wish list, you know, things for kids.
Make a wish.
Really want to see that ultimate wish. John does so many things. And when he carried that company on his back for those 10 years, he did so much shit far and beyond what it is of just putting your time in on the road. And when those 10 years that he was carrying that thing, he was working 300 plus days a year minimum.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't know about all that. And that's one of the biggest reasons why, probably my guess, you're not being in his spot. You know, that I feel he never did flip and do the, like Dusty Rhodes would have never flipped. A lot of people don't know this, but when Ted Turner put together, you know, World Championship Wrestling, it was because Vince wouldn't sell it to him. He wanted to buy the WWF, just like he bought the Falcons and the Hawks and the Braves. You know, because he was buying programming. He was so far ahead of the curve for programming.
Ugh.
Yeah, man. You know, it's a really, I think it's a really cool time in wrestling, man. It's a really cool time with the different federations, and you got NWA over here. Paid. Yeah, guys are making a living off independent wrestling. This is a great time for the fans and for, because nothing's better than seeing someone come up like Austin Theory. He's a Georgia boy.
Yeah.
He did all these independents right here, man. You know, I hope he has a lot to be seasoned still. And Jake, you had mentioned this earlier, but he has got a raw talent about him. And I love seeing him with KO.
Oh, yeah.
I think KO is one of the best.
He's in the school.
Yeah. I think KO is one of the best.
So he's in the school, brother. I watched that, and I was giggling to myself like, damn, Jake, how many times have you done the same fucking thing with a guy who did not exactly know where he was at? Because he took him and showed him.
And he's only going to get better and better and better. Yeah, it's a great time.
It's not just a great time in WWE or AEW. It's also a great time south of the border. We're inside of a month away from Triple Mania 30. And Jake Roberts knows a thing or two about Triple Mania. and the main event is going to be Mask versus Mask. Volano number 4 and Pentagon Jr. And I know, listen, when you hear that on the surface, you think, well, then that means the older guy is going to lose the mask. But once upon a time at the very first Triple Mania, it was Conan versus another older star. And well, Conan didn't win, thanks to Mr. Jake Roberts. How about that?
Oops.
And Conan lost his career.
Sherry talked me into it. Sensational Sherry talked me into it. I was scared. I couldn't tell her no. She'd have beat the shit out of me.
it I want you just, cause this year Triple Mania is going to be on Fight, Jake, and a lot of American fans are going to be able to watch Triple Mania and hear it in English. And, you know, it really is the Lucha equivalent of WrestleMania. You know, a thing or two about Triple Mania. What should fans expect from a spectacle like that?
My God, they are so talented. And if it hasn't been done here in the United States, it's already been done over there, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
You know, the guys over there are risk takers.
Wow.
Because, you know, life, well, living's cheap there. You know, lives are cheap there. And they're all looking for a way to get out of that and to move up. And that's, for them, moving up is making it to WWE. You know, they watched Ray and his conquest. You watched Eddie. They watched all these different guys, and these kids are fighting to get up, and they'll do anything. And that promotion has been around a long time, and they're gonna blow this thing out of the water. I know that because, hell, they asked me to be on it. So there you go.
Man, when the first time that I was a part was because I was with Jake, and we were doing the first time we did it was in the Olympic Auditorium in L.A. And it was, you know, the whole entrances. Like, it took.
No, it wasn't at the Olympic.
Was it?
No, that was.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
But whatever stadium it was at,
yeah,
it was packed. There was 5,000 people who couldn't get into this thing. And I was blown away, like, oh, my God. But the entrances.
Yeah.
Like. WWE had to take something from them at some point.
Like I said, if it hasn't happened here, they've already done it in Mexico. They dress up and they put on these costumes of dragons and all this stuff coming down the aisle. You're like, what the hell is this?
It's
a mixture of circus, wrestling, fighting. I keep waiting for them to drop
acrobatics.
Drop the bull. If they ever drop the bull, I'm sold.
You know, I was fortunate enough to see my first Lucha Libre show in person in Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and it clicked for me as I watched the show. And I want you guys' opinion on this, because I tried to explain this to Eric and he thought maybe I nailed it. So I want you guys' opinion. I think sometimes the American wrestling fan who takes a look at Lucha Libre or some Lucha performers, even on AEW, and they would say, oh, well, there's no psychology and it doesn't work and I don't like it and blah, blah, blah. So there's lots of criticism about how it just doesn't work when compared to American wrestling. But I think it's because we've seen it through the American wrestling lens, where forever it's been positioned as it's mano a mano. It's a real fight. It's boxing. It's MMA. We're trying to make you believe that what you're seeing is real. Whereas a Lucha show feels like, well, it's more like a comic book action. It's Spider-Man versus Batman versus Superman. And even down to the characters, you're like, no, Clark Kent doesn't want anyone to know he's Superman and vice versa. Bruce Wayne doesn't want anyone to know he's Batman. So the mask has symbolism, but we're seeing this over the top, fantastic fighting. And I don't think anybody ever sat down at a movie theater to watch Superman and said, that fella can't really fly, because that's just stupid. It's silly. Like, so stop looking at Lucha through the American wrestling lens of this is a real fight and just enjoy the show. You're seeing a live action Marvel show, because some of the things that you see, like Rey Mysterio do, well, buddy, you will be marveling at that. Guys like Vikingo and Rey Fénix, and they're going to be tearing it up at Triple Mania. So I encourage everybody to check it out. Not just what's going on in AEW and WWE, but take a look at what's going on in AAA as they celebrate their 30th anniversary of Triple Mania.
There's a reason they're still around. That's because they got a great product, man.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's really fascinating, like, especially with Lucha Libre.
But I think you're right.
Yeah, I agree with you too on that. And you have to, like, just suspend belief here. This is what I'm walking into. If you're walking to watch Batman,
just watch the movements.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines was by Ben Affleck. With the one, he gets in the Batmobile. I can't remember who it was. He goes, so what's your superpower? He said, I'm rich.
Yes.
It's the best superpower to have.
Yeah, I can afford anything. But it's beyond belief if you were to take it into the scenario of Batman versus Superman. Like, you're still a human being. I don't care how rich you are. you're going to get your ass beat, but you don't. And they have a hell of a fight, you know, and that's what Lucha Libre is to a certain degree, too. Because at first I didn't, I'd never really understood it. Jake brought me into that world.
Yeah.
You know, and to be his second. And it's funny because I watched that match back like from that time with Eddie. But Eddie and Art Barr is a guy that most people will have never seen, but wow. Like Eddie would put him over like he was the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he could do some real like stuff before anybody was doing it. You know, and he was a freaking white boy, I want to say from Portland.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
His dad was a longtime referee up there, Sandy Barr. Yeah.
He would have been somebody.
Jesse Barr wrestled for a while.
So he came from a wrestling family. That explains it.
Yeah.
I think the match you guys were talking about, maybe the one you tagged along with Dallas, would that have been at the LA Memorial Sports Arena? Well, on that show, and you want to talk about a barn burner match, we had a fantastic tag match. It was hair versus mask, 2 out of 3 falls, Octagon and El Hijo del Santo taking on Art Barr and Eddie Guerrero. And it's a fantastic match. They get plenty of time. It's on YouTube. Go look it up. When Worlds Collide, and just type in Eddie Guerrero. Spell Eddie with a Y. That's how he was spelling it back then. I just want to remind everybody that this is really going to be Art Barr's last big time match. He would pass away like less than 2 weeks later. What a major show. When Worlds Collide, you can see that frog splash, why Eddie adopted it. And we all know that move sort of synonymous with Eddie Guerrero. Really, he was borrowing it from Art Barr, who passed away November 23rd, 1994. Just, I don't know, like 10 days after this show, something crazy. Go check it out. When Worlds Collide.
It was horrible when he died. I remember that. Remember how he died. A horrible thing.
Yeah, he would have really, I mean, if Art Barr would have come up like today.
Oh, wow.
He, you know, considering he really started, him and Eddie are the guys who really started a lot of that shit, you know, that you would go, oh my God, you know, like, oh, how the hell do you do that? You know? So,
we talked about Mysterio. I want to ask you guys about Mysterio because we've touched on it. We know that Dominic has now turned against Rey. That probably makes sense. You need to carve your own way, but boy, they paired him with Rhea Ripley, and seeing her sort of be the puppet master is just phenomenal stuff. I really like the pairing of Rhea with Dominic. What do you think about that, Jake? I feel like that would be right up your alley.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, she's got a look about her, man, that makes me, I don't know if I'm excited or I'm scared, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Yeah, she's got a look about her, man, and she knows where to be for camera shots. I just watched a little piece on them, and as Dominic turns to go away, oh, you see her in the shadow. She got her head down just right where you see that evilness that some women have. Not all of them.
I'll tell you, man, when he came out for at the castle, you know, Ray is always dressed to the nines. You know, his outfits are ridiculously unbelievable. And then, of course, Edge comes out looking at 50, whatever he is, shredded, just, I mean, as good as he's ever, ever looked.
Yes.
Outfit looks ridiculous, amazing. And then he's got this T-shirt on that's kind of cut. I don't know. And it just made me think, like, what's happening here?
He's slapping everybody in the face, man.
You know, it's just like, because he's always had really cool outfits because of coming with his dad. He's always looked cool, but now he looks kind of like, what's he doing? And I didn't really know the turn was coming, which, again, I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, when he fucking kicked fucking Edge in the balls, oh! I mean, if you go back and listen to Raw's show last night, and they're egging him on a little bit. He's saying nothing. And when it gets to him starting to talk, they start booing old school shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
there's real heat there.
Yes. Like real. Because if you look at baby faces, like guys who are loved by the people, Ray's got to be the top one of one.
Oh, sure. You know, for everybody out there can understand it when the child turns and does the wrong thing, goes down the wrong street, no matter how hard you're trying to save that kid from hell, and yet they just don't get it, and they have to go down that street. We've all seen this play out in real life. The people love and respect Rey Mysterio so much. If you do anything towards them,
right,
you're a complete piece of crap. You know, just Edge grabbing Rey because he wanted to, you know, kick the kid's ass, which is what the kid needed. He's going to have it sooner or later, but I got a feeling somewhere down the road it's not going to be Edge that gives it to him. It'll be his old man.
Well, that's going to be, that's the money. And yeah. I love how they had him come out with the black, you know, the collar, the vest type thing. And dude, he also did a little Jake Roberts last night, where when Rey was there, and I believe he had the chair in his hands, and he got on his knees, and he did this. Like, here's my face right here. Hit me in the face. Yeah. Like, only person ever known to do that was Jake.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, yeah, like that. It didn't, I mean, the people, they were hot at him. He didn't do a lot in the match. He didn't have to. And
I love the little wiggle he does. Yeah. You know, the shoulders. Just a little bit. Yep. Just to say,
yeah, fuck you. And I love him with Rhea. I think that, again, she's scary and sexy at the same time. And she's a big woman. I mean, she's built. Yeah. She's a brick shit house. So,
or shit brick house.
Yeah, she's badass, man. And I haven't really seen her. I don't know how often she actually wrestles, but right now she doesn't need to do shit.
No, the less you see her, the better off you are.
And Damian friggin', I mean, I love his. I mean, like the whole thing. You guys, I've talked about Judgment Day is one of the things that I really noticed right away when Edge brought it on, and as much as I liked him in it, I was glad when he flipped, because that's where Edge is at today. He is, you know, top 1% of one baby face. And he's really that guy in real life. So I think it's really great, man. And if you're going to do a turn on somebody, you couldn't be a better person than Rey Mysterio.
Oh my God.
You know, it makes it easy.
Yeah, I'm right. It does.
As we're wrapping this up, I do want to ask you guys, because I know you guys watched Monday Night Raw, but did you happen to see any of the QR code talk online last night? Or did you notice that they had QR code in a backstage segment and then a fan go through the crowd with a sign of a giant QR code? Did y'all notice that?
No, I didn't see that. What was that about?
It's a little tease. If you scan that QR code, you went to a little website that teased you with an episode of Hangman. We've all played Hangman before, where you're trying to guess what the word is, and the clue was who killed the world. And as you made your different selections, you would see the answer would be revealed to say you did. And the white rabbit appears and jumps around the screen, and it says 9/23. And a lot of folks have been led to believe that this means that Bray Wyatt's coming back this Friday night on SmackDown. Over the weekend, they had lots of White Rabbit references at the live events. When we saw a little moment where Liv Morgan was in the ring, all of a sudden, the lights went out when people talked about, you know, she's really been changing lately. The lights blinked. Little clues here and there that maybe Bray Wyatt's coming back. And somebody over on Reddit even said, hey, White Rabbit is a reference to a tweet from the 4th of July from Bray Wyatt. And people have started to put it all together. And he's one of those really scratch your head firings that happened under the Vince McMahon regime.
I never understood that.
But now Hunter's back, and supposedly Bray Wyatt will be on Friday, or there's some sort of other story they're telling with White Rabbit. But what do you think about the clues inside of a show for somebody?
I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's amazing.
Hey, whoever thought of that. And that I get again didn't catch that. Wow. And now that you've said that, anything that comes over, that'll, you know,
makes sense.
Yeah, boy. Wow. That's something that I've never even thought of, but everybody knows if you just take your phone
yes.
and put it in a picture, and it'll come up, hit that little button, you know, and if you don't know, you know now.
Yeah.
You put your camera up to the QR code, that little square box, and, you know, just you'll see something pop up, click that, it'll take you right there. I know when I do different promotions for DDP Yoga, we'll do something like that. But what a genius thing to do someone going through the crowd with that. Whoever thought of that, kudos, brother.
Before we go, I got to tell you about this morning, man. I had breakfast with my good friend Garrett. You know, the guy who stood in line for Ric Flair for like 3 hours and never got what he wanted. But anyway, we went to this place to eat, and we're coming out, and these two young, beautiful girls, they weren't quite women yet. I said, "Aren't you Jake Roberts?" And at first, I thought this has got to be a rib. they look way too good to be talking to me. And yes, I am. "Oh my God, we love your show. You and Dallas. Oh, the Snake Pit. Oh, they were fans of our show."
Seriously?
Yes, I swear to God, Garrett, is that right?
I mean, they could have been older than 18. And I mean,
that's...
they were marking out so
gentle. Oh, my God. I thought it was a setup.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so you start playing into it. You see Nathan's got a camera.
Right. Something's going to happen here. But she it was her birthday.
What's her name? Do you remember that? Come on.
Tiella or something like that. Yeah. But I want to say happy birthday, sweetheart, because you said you're going to be here in the show. So we'll see if you're listening. And it was great meeting you. It really was. You and your friend were beautiful. And wow, some guy's going to be lucky someday.
That's awesome.
Well said.
Barks like me.
I want to mention too, if you're listening to this and you think, man, I wish Jake would wish me a happy birthday. Well, he can over on Cameo, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good segue.
Take care, guys.
We'll see you guys next week right here on DDP.
See ya.